Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Milk and Sea Audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
I'm Bill Holwig, and welcome to the Swag Cast. Yes, I love sharing things. Here's a podcast devoted to old time radio vampires. And if you want to find out what they are, stay tuned.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance, as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. Tonight's play is based on an all-time horror classic by Sheridan Le Fanu, adapted especially for the series by Graham Pomeroy and John Douglas. But right now, the name to remember is Carmilla.
Children love castles and fill their dreams with them. I thought I was the luckiest girl in the world because I lived in one. And then when I grew up, the dream stretched out its arms to take me with it into the nightmare of dark. We could never have afforded a real castle back at home in England, but in the wilds of the Black Forest, my father's income was ample. If one didn't mind the shadows.
So long as you're not frightened by rumors of trolls and coaches drawn by headless horses, Margaret, Germany should be quite pleasant.
And so it was for years, as I remember. We were much alone, my widowed father, myself, the governess and a few servants, in a wasteland of black firs stretching to the horizon. The castle and the long white road unrolling before it from one dark mouth of the forest to another were never more magical one night. That night when the moon should have hidden her face.
Margaret! Margaret! Where are you, ma petite?
Here, madame, bathing in the moonlight.
Indeed. Indeed, ma chère. It is the land of fairy tonight. But you must not stay too long. When the moon shines like this, like silver all on fire, it is very dangerous.
Madame, your petite enfant is a grown woman now. No more stories to frighten children. Come, sit here by me. It's still bright as daylight.
I had a cousin once. He was a sailor. Like a fool, he fell asleep on deck in such a moon as this. And when he woke, an old woman was clawing at his face.
Oh, madame, you should have been German. You see spirits.
I am German, on my mother's side.
One would never have known it.
You make fun of me. But I tell you, look at the castle windows.
They flash and sparkle in the light.
It is as though hands not seen had lighted up the rooms to receive guests from the other world.
Still trying to frighten my daughter, Madame Peridon. One would think in 20 years you might have given up. She does not know the meaning of fear.
Oh, Papa, Madame has been trying to convince me that the moon is a bad angel.
There are certainly some of them about, I'm afraid. I have some rather sad news for you, Margaret. Would you excuse us, madame?
But of course, monsieur. I will...
Yes, madame?
Did you not hear a sound?
Nothing but the night. Margaret?
No.
Perhaps you are right, ma chère. Ah, I grow old.
So much beauty all around, Papa, and such a long face.
I've had a long letter. You remember me speaking of my old friend, General Spielstorp?
How could I forget? You've promised that he'll bring his daughter Elizabeth to visit us just as soon as she's well enough to travel. Oh, if you knew how I long to meet someone my own age.
I know. I'm afraid now you will have to wait.
But his daughter is recovered.
His daughter is dead.
Papa!
You had better see the General's letter. I'm afraid he is suffering greatly. The letter appears to have been written by a man nearly half-crazed.
My dear Lauriston, during the last days of Elizabeth's illness, I could not write to you. And before then, I had no idea of her danger.
I had no idea of her danger. I have lost her, and now learn all. Too late. The fiend who betrayed our infatuated hospitality has done it all. I swear before Almighty God, I will devote my remaining days to tracking and extinguishing a monster. Sometime in the autumn, or earlier, if I live, my hunt may bring me to your area. I will then tell you all I dare not put on paper now. Farewell. Pray for me, dear friend. Pray for me.
Pray for me. Oh, Papa, the poor man.
What's that? Traveling? So late?
Monsieur, Margaret, a carriage is coming through the woods on the north road.
And whipped on by a madman. Do you hear how fast he drives?
But they will never...
They'll never take the curve by the great oak. Wolfgang, Manfred, come here, quickly, still, still.
Here they are. Oh, Papa, they've got him.
Yes.
Lunatic. Wolfgang, Manfred, see if they're hurt. See if there's anything you can do for them.
I thank you, gentlemen. Thank you all, but there is no serious damage. You there, help my daughter, and be gentle as you go. Mind there.
From the overturned carriage stepped, unharmed, a cold, imperious woman, all in black, commanding the frightened servants as they brought up the most beautiful young girl, about my age, as pale as marble, who at first sight appeared to be...
Oh, la belle! La belle pauvre petite! She's dead! The young lady is dead!
For God's sakes, Madame Peridon, control yourself. Bring the young lady here, Manfred. As I thought, her pulse still beats. She has only fainted.
Oh, Lord, we are lost. Lost.
My lady, your daughter is only suffering from shock. A night's rest, one night only, and you may ride on.
Oh, alas, alas, sir, that is exactly what I cannot do. I am on a journey of life and death in which to lose an hour is to lose all. I must go on instantly. My poor child cannot come with me now. God forgive me. I must leave her in the closest village. Have pity on a poor mother. Tell me how... How far to the nearest inn?
Oh, Papa, please ask her to stay with us. She's so pretty and so alone. I do so want a friend. Please.
Madame, would you do us the honor of leaving the young lady here as our guest until your return? She would be a welcome friend to my daughter, Margaret, and my servants would answer her every wish.
Sir, I cannot.
Oh, please.
You see, we insist.
Very well. Remember, it is at your own invitation.
But of course.
I shall return in 1 month. In the meantime, my daughter will be silent as to who we are, where we are from, and where we are going. Thank you again. Goodbye.
My lady?
Yes?
Will you not say farewell to your daughter?
Oh, yes. When she wakens, by all means, tell her I kissed her. Farewell.
Au revoir.
Adieu.
Her servants had righted the carriage with astonishing speed, and the lady in black stepped swiftly into it. A moment, and carriage, horses, passenger and all had been swallowed up into the dark maw of the forest. At the very moment when the last sound of wheels died away among the trees, the young lady opened her eyes.
My mother. Where is she?
My dear young lady, your mother had no choice but to resume her journey immediately. You are to be our guest here for a little while. Our name is Loriston.
I am called Carmilla.
May I present my daughter, Margaret?
How do you do? Carmilla? You aren't hurt.
Oh, no. I think I was hurt once, but that was ever so long ago. How beautiful you are.
I was saying to your father only yesterday, ma chère, what a piece of luck. Is she not beautiful, this Carmilla? Here, scarcely a month, and already she loves you as much as we do. No, I swear she loves you more.
She is very beautiful. Her affection is flattering, but...
Ach, you are too cold, you English. To see her stroke your hand and brush your fine hair by the hour.
I did so want a friend. Now I seem to have one, indeed. But she is so different from anyone I have ever known.
Ah, these noble families. You have only to look at her to know she is of old blood. Though she will not say, they are often very odd. I remember once in France...
She appears to eat or drink almost nothing.
Pure delicatesse, Margaret. A refinement natural to her rank.
When we take even the shortest walk, she is exhausted almost at once. I sometimes think she may be ill.
Because she does not strut about like a peasant. You must read the modern authors. As for living, our servant can do that for us.
A funeral? Here, so far from anywhere?
It is the forest ranger's daughter. You know they found her dead this morning.
Oh, I heard.
Ach, la pauvre. I will go and say a prayer for her. Will you come?
No, madame. I promise to meet Carmilla here.
I will pray for both of us, then. Do not stay too long. It will be dark soon.
What is that hideous music?
Carmilla, those poor people are weeping, and you talk as though we were at a concert.
Don't you hear how discordant it is? How it grates the ears?
On the contrary, I think it is very moving. A
Our religion?
How can you tell that your religion and mine are the same? Your forms wound me, and I hate funerals. What a fuss. Why, you must die. Everyone must die. And all are happier when they do.
I think she would have been happier to live.
She? Oh, I don't trouble my head about peasants. I don't even know who she is.
She is that poor girl who thought she saw a ghost a week ago. They say she has been dying ever since.
Tell me nothing about ghosts. I shan't sleep tonight if you do.
I hope there is no epidemic coming. The swineherd's young wife died only a week ago, and she imagined that something took her by the throat. The doctor says that so much delirium surely means fever.
The swineherd's wife. Well, her funeral is over, I hope, and her hymn sung. And our ears shan't be tortured for her. Like this.
Carmilla! Are you ill? Your face.
Close. Come close to me. Hold my hand. Tight. Tighter.
Oh, you are crushing my hand.
Oh, I am sorry. It is passing away. See what comes of strangling people with hymns?
Carmilla, I don't understand. Sometimes you are the gentlest friend I could ever imagine, and sometimes...
Dearest, think me not cruel. I obey the irresistible law of my strength and weakness. If your dear heart is wounded, my wild heart bleeds with yours.
You have not wounded me, dear Carmilla.
I fear I have. But you see, I cannot help it. As I draw near to you, you in turn will draw near to others and learn the rapture of that cruelty, which yet is love.
I don't know you. I don't know myself when you look so and talk so. What do you mean by all this?
My darling, seek to know no more of me or mine.
Please.
Trust me. Trust me with all your loving spirit.
That night I had what I imagined was a dream. I cannot call it a nightmare, for I was quite conscious of being asleep. I saw, or thought I saw, the room and its furniture just as I had seen them last, except that it was very dark. And then I saw something moving round the foot of the bed, a figure whose face and form I could not see. They were only two dull points of red, like the embers of a fire as it dies. It approached slowly, ever closer. In the last moment before it reached me, I seemed to hear a voice coming not from my visitor, but from far, far away, sweetly and tenderly. But with terrible urgency, it whispered,
"Your mother warns you to be aware of the assassin."
But the glowing coals were already inches from my face, and suddenly I felt a stinging pain, as if two large needles darted an inch or two apart.
deep into my breast. I tried to scream, but found I could not breathe.
Accompanied by an increasing languor.
Hmm? By exhaustion, Doctor.
She complains more and more of suffocation. And her color.
I can see for myself, Herr Lauriston. And this sensation of needles you mentioned, Fräulein. Where exactly?
Here, Doctor. Over the heart.
You're rather young for angina, surely.
Deep, I hear you.
What is it?
The scars. Two tiny white scars.
How could she suffer so from those? They could be no more than insect bites.
Herr Lauriston, do you know the stories, myths, you would say, tales that they tell here in our black forest?
Tales of disease?
Of those who bring it. Fräulein. After those needles, as you call them, is there any other sensation?
It is a little like bathing.
I do not understand.
It's like, you know the pleasant cold thrill you feel when you swim upstream against the current of the river? And in the heart of that cold, warm lips are kissing me.
Yes.
I sometimes wish I never had to wake up.
Fräulein, you must not feel so. You must resist. To love your destroyer is to be lost.
My destroyer?
Dr. Waltman, what are you saying?
I do not know how you will believe me, but you must. Your daughter is...
Lauriston! Lauriston!
My God, that's...
Forgive my haste, old friend, but I have no time for niceties. I have ridden through the night, lest she escape me and... You're not alone.
Spielsdorf, we did not expect you so suddenly.
I have not one moment to lose.
May I present Dr. Waltman, General Spielsdorf?
General.
Herr Doctor.
My daughter, Margaret.
Welcome, sir.
My dear Fräulein. My child, you are ill.
Well enough to be thankful you are here at last, General.
Oh,
what's wrong?
She is so like my Elizabeth, even to her pallor. God send her a better deliverance.
We were all so grieved to hear.
I will grieve for my daughter, Fräulein. Oh, I will grieve. When I have first had vengeance on the devil who killed her.
Killed her?
Surely as a dagger to the heart. Listen, and you will hear how my blindness, my folly, brought my darling to the grave. You too, Doctor, hear me. Hear how little your science knows of things that walk the night.
I am listening.
So, early this summer, my dear Elizabeth and I attended a magnificent celebration at a neighbor's castle. A masked ball. Oh, masked indeed. Oh, yes, it was. When the fireworks were ended and the dancing began, I realized that a young lady and her chaperone, masked and richly dressed, had been following my daughter with extraordinary interest. Suddenly, the older woman was beside me.
General Spielsdorf, I believe?
You have the advantage of me, madame.
Do you not know who I am?
If madame would remove her mask.
No, 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 I must not. Though we are older and better friends than perhaps you suspect, Friedrich.
Madame, you embarrass me. If you would but say...
Soon, Friedrich, soon you will know everything, but for a brief time I must implore your aid as an old friend, whose honor will ask no more.
Why, how may I... I know not what to say, madame.
I have, this moment, received news that reached me like a thunderbolt. I must leave at once on a journey of life and death, in which to lose an hour is to lose all. My poor ward, there, cannot come with me. She is still delicate from an accident. I plead with you. I beg you, take my poor Mircalla under your protection. I know she will be safe for the brief month I shall be absent. Oh, consent and save a desperate woman.
Madame, with the best will in the world, how can I... I do not know your ward at all.
She is Mircalla, Countess of Karnstein, a name to honor any house. Oh, look. Friedrich, see how she and your daughter are friends already. Look. Look, Mircalla takes her hand, and your daughter looks radiant.
I turned to look, and it was true. My daughter was entranced by her new companion. I turned back, and amid the swirling dancers, my masked interrogator was gone. The next moment, my darling daughter came to me, innocent as a fawn, pleading with me to invite Mircalla home. I weakened. I did.
Karnstein. Karnstein. There is a ruined chapel of the Karnsteins here in the forest. The last member of the family died 200 years ago.
No, she was only buried.
Spielsdorf, what are you saying?
Herr Loriston, I think he is saying that I was trying to tell you just now. You claim, General, that your daughter was murdered?
Within 3 weeks, my Elizabeth sank and died. Every morning she was paler, weaker, and more bloodless. She suffocated, slowly, and whispered of terrible dreams. Mircalla was always by her side, so loving.
And on her breast, or perhaps her throat, 2 tiny scars like the scratches of a pin?
You? No.
You believe?
Your friends, General. Your friends believe now, too. Don't you, Herr Loriston?
Mircalla?
Carmilla. Cannot we have a house guest named Carmilla? She was left behind with us by an unknown lady on a desperate journey. General! Look at my daughter!
God in heaven! Her mark! She is here! The devil I hunt is here! Where? Show me. Where is she?
At this hour she keeps to her room. Carmilla rises late.
General, do you have what we will need?
It is with me always since...
Frederick, I will go with you.
No, David, no. I will go alone.
But I...
It must be my hand, David. Your daughter is still alive.
Perhaps Carmilla saw the general arrive. Perhaps some instinct of her kind had warned her. But General Spielsdorf found an empty room, cold as though it had never been inhabited. Of course, it never really had. On moonlit nights, I walk where we walked together.
Margaret. Margaret.
God forgive me. I miss her. And I almost smile in my mirror to see that the scars do not heal.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. I hope you will forgive the intrusion, and I hope that you have been enjoying Broken Sea Audio Productions' OTR Swagcast. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
The night brings to Collinwood an austere and lonely silence. Inside the great house this night, a child will have a dream. And for him, the dream will be a revelation of the evil that still threatens us all.
Is this the place? Sarah, there's a coffin here!
I know.
Well, it's just like in a secret room. But this isn't a secret room.
I know.
Is that coffin empty, too?
No, Daisy. That coffin isn't empty. See?
Sarah! Let's get out of here, quickly!
No. This is who I came to find.
Back at last.
Sarah, look out! He'll get you, Sarah! Get away from him! To get away from him. Then he turned around and started coming after me. Danger, try and calm down. Vicky, he's in a room somewhere with a coffin in it. Sarah took me there. She told me that he was in the coffin, but I didn't believe her. And then the coffin came out. And Sarah just stood there. And he started coming after me. Vicky, he's dead. He's dead.
Who's dead?
Cousin Barnabas.
David, that proves that you were dreaming. You know as well as I do that Barnabas isn't dead.
But he isn't dead all of the time. Just some of the time.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
And Sarah. Little Sarah is dead too.
You mean that you dreamed she's dead?
No, no, no. She told me. She's dead right now. It used to confuse me when she'd appear and disappear. But now I understand how she does it. Sarah's a ghost.
David, you've been here in your room all night long. You haven't gotten out of your bed. Well, it's obvious you couldn't have seen these things unless you dreamed.
Yes, I did see them. I still remember them. I remember the room with the coffin in it. The place that I met Sarah. I remember all of it.
Except what?
Except the lady in the shadows.
What lady?
I don't know. I couldn't see her face. But she had this piece of jewelry. She kept shining it at me.
Here, Vida. I think maybe you're coming down with a fever.
Why don't you listen to me?
I will, as soon as I get you some milk.
Where are you going? Don't leave me alone in here, please.
I think. Alone.
You don't believe me, do you?
I believe that your dream seemed very real to you. But I think it was a dream.
Maybe it was. But all the things that happened in it are real. And I'll prove it to you.
How?
I'll go into the woods tomorrow and I'll find Sarah. And they'll make her show me where that room with the coffin is. And then you'll see.
Oh, David. I don't think you're going to go into the woods tomorrow.
But I have to see Sarah.
You've had quite enough excitement this week. Now I want you to get some rest. Tonight and tomorrow.
Well, if that's the way you want it, I have other ways of finding Sarah.
Like what?
All I have to do is think about her. And wish real hard that she'd be here. And then she'd come.
Oh, you mean that she just knows instinctively when you want her.
That's right.
And how does she do that?
Haven't you been listening to anything that I told you? Sarah's dead. It really did confuse me when she disappeared and appeared. But now I understand how she really does it. Sarah's a ghost.
You have nothing better to do than to sit around reading books at a time like this.
You enjoy browsing through your family album. I enjoy through medical journals.
Well, put the book away, Doctor. We have things to talk about.
What things? Where have you been, anyhow?
I had an eventful and thoroughly depressing evening. First, a revealing talk with David, and then a trip to the hospital.
Why did you go there?
Hopefully to get the news that friend Willie is passed away.
Well, has he?
No, he clings to life with a leech-like persistence. Why isn't he dead?
I don't know.
Well, you're a doctor, aren't you?
But I'm not his attending physician. I don't have access to the patient.
You realize, of course, that every moment he remains alive, he constitutes a greater threat to my own survival.
Barnabas, he is going to die.
Yes, yes, I keep hearing that. But when? He's certainly taking his time about it.
He is in a coma. He hasn't exactly got control over the situation.
Perhaps it's time that I should take control of the situation.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about getting rid of him before someone brings us the news that he has miraculously recovered and is writing his memoirs.
This is no time to be facetious.
I've never been more serious, Doctor.
I see. Then you think that getting into the hospital and killing Willie will solve everything?
It will remove a threat.
It will create a greater threat.
How?
Because the sheriff and everybody else believe that Willie is the one who kidnapped Maggie. If an attempt is made on his life, they'll realize that he's not the one.
Well,
the investigation will continue.
Well, Doctor, what do you suppose we should do?
I think we should wait and have faith in what the doctor's told us.
We seem to have more threats facing us than we know what to do with, don't we? First, Willie, half dead, half alive. Maggie with her unpredictable memory. And then Cousin David with his insufferable curiosity.
What happened when you saw David?
I asked him questions again and he lied again. I'm still convinced that he knows too much. Oh, I know what should be done to him. But as long as Sarah keeps thwarting me, there's not much I can do about it.
Sarah or no Sarah, if you kill David, you'll be making the blunder of your life.
Am I to sit idly by until he knows my complete history and then tells everybody about it?
Barnabas, perhaps there's another, safer and more effective way of silencing David.
And what is that?
I don't know why I didn't think of it before.
Well, why don't you tell me?
I can fix David's curiosity just as I fixed Maggie's memory.
By hypnosis?
Yes.
You think it'll work in the boy?
Yes.
Well, children aren't the easiest subjects. Their attention span leaves something to be desired.
Leave it to me.
You may have difficulty getting the boy alone.
Why?
Well, he's being overprotected by everyone in that house since he was lost in the woods.
Don't worry. I'll find a way to get him alone. And when I do, you won't have to worry about his curiosity any longer.
There must be some reason.
But there couldn't be. Barnabas has always been so fond of David.
Vicky, I'm not saying there's any justification for it, but there must be some reason in David's mind. Probably some childish thing, you know.
But he was so frightened. He didn't want me to leave the room, so I sat up with him all night.
You must be exhausted. Why don't you take the rest of the day off and get some sleep?
No, I'd rather stay near David in case he needs me. Anyway, I did cancel the lesson for the day.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Did I hear you talking about David?
Yes, he had a nightmare last night and woke up screaming.
Oh, that's too bad. Is he feeling better now?
He's all right now, but who can tell what will happen next?
I stayed up rather late last night, thinking about David. I worried about his irrational behavior.
Irrational?
Yes, this whole story about the old house not being safe, but not being able to tell us the reason for it. I wonder if you'd mind if I had a private talk with David.
You think you could help the situation?
Well, I've had some experience in child psychology. I've seen and dealt with children's behavior such as this before.
What do you mean?
I'm not really a child psychologist, but I find that in situations like this, I found that it's not really as grave as it seems.
You seem a woman of many talents, Professor.
Well, the chances are that what's bothering David is quite simple. We just don't know what it is, and I think perhaps if I had a talk with him, I might be able to help.
Well, you have my permission. I better go up to David's room and see if he's willing.
Of course. It'd be pointless if he's not willing. I'll be right back.
Vicky.
While we're waiting, I wonder if you tell me about David's dream. Give me as many details as you can.
David, may I come in?
Oh, sure.
How do you feel?
I'm okay.
Miss Hoffman's downstairs in the drawing room. She wants to talk to you.
What about?
She seems to think she can help you discover what's troubling you.
How does she think she can do that?
Well, why don't you talk to her and find out?
I don't really think it'll do any good.
Well, you can't tell until you try. Won't you try, David, for me?
Okay.
Thanks. Were you drawing something when I came in just now?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
It's just a picture.
May I see it?
It wasn't really very good.
David, what are you talking about? You know you draw very well. Now, come on, let me see.
Now, David, I understand you had a bad dream last night.
Yes.
Would you like to tell me about it?
No.
Why not?
Because I doubt if you'll believe me either.
Why don't you try me and see? Come, sit down.
I really don't feel like talking about it.
Now, David, we're going to have this talk. It's important for you to sit back and relax.
I'm relaxed.
No, you're not. You don't quite know what I'm up to, and you're a little tense about it, aren't you?
Well, I'll relax my muscles. There, I'm relaxed.
Now, David, I want you to know that if you don't want to stay here, you can walk right out the door. If this is going to be an ordeal for you, leave immediately.
Oh, I don't mind talking. What do you want me to say?
Well, you've had a very frightening experience. We have to find out who it was that frightened you and why they frightened you. Now, the person in question is Barnabas Collins, isn't it?
Yes.
You dreamed you saw him coming out of a coffin, is that right?
Yes.
Where was the coffin?
In a room.
Where was the room?
I don't know.
Are you sure?
It seemed like a room that I'd seen before, but I can't remember where.
And David, what do you think that part of your dream meant?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, why was Barnabas getting out of the coffin?
Well, I don't know.
Well, why do you think he was in the coffin?
I don't know that either.
Didn't Sarah tell you?
No. She just brought me there.
Did Sarah tell you anything?
No. She was just standing there when the coffin opened. I tried to warn her to get away,
now,
but...
Now, David, you must not talk about it, and you'll get all tense again. Sit back and relax. Put your arms at your sides. Now, don't you feel more comfortable?
Yes.
Good. Now, I'm going to show you something that will make you feel even more comfortable. Now, I want you to just sit back there without talking. Now, look at this. Concentrate on it. Very pretty, isn't it? Now just keep looking at it. That's
it. You're the one!
What?
You were in my dream. I couldn't see your face, but...
What are you talking about, David?
And you were holding in your hand that same piece of jewelry.
This is just an ordinary medallion.
No, it isn't. You kept doing something strange with it. You kept shining at my face.
But I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't want to look at it. Take it away. I don't want to look at it.
David.
Vicky! Where are you, Vicky?
Of the sun that shines down on the great house of Collinwood cannot remove the ominous shadow that clouds our lives. We remain concerned for young David Collins, who has not recovered from the effects of a terrifying dream.
Now, while I'm talking to you, David, I want you to concentrate on this medallion. Very pretty, isn't it? That's right. Keep looking at it.
You're the one.
What?
You're the lady that was in my dream. I couldn't see your face, but...
I don't know what you're talking about.
And that's the same piece of jewelry. You kept shining it in my face.
David, this is an ordinary medallion.
No, it isn't. You kept doing something strange with it. Kept shining it at me.
Now, David.
No, take it away. I don't want to look at it. Take it away. Vicky, where are you? Vicky, help.
hope you can explain all this. I'm as mystified as you are, Mrs. Stoddard. I was just showing him this simple piece of jewelry.
No, take it away! I don't want to look at it! Take it away!
Trying to get him to feel more relaxed when he caught sight of the medallion and started carrying on about it.
That's all that happened?
Yes.
Are you sure you didn't say or do something that frightened him?
I barely had time to start. I didn't have a chance to say or do anything.
Why should he be afraid of a harmless piece of jewelry?
Have any idea?
Sissy, his behavior doesn't make any sense.
I think it does. I think in his mind that wasn't just a harmless piece of jewelry.
I beg your pardon?
In his dream, there was a woman holding a gold medallion, and it terrified him.
But it couldn't have been this medallion. He'd never seen this.
Now, don't you think?
What's the matter?
You showed me this once before. At Maggie Evans' house. Do you remember?
Yes, but I fail to see what's interesting about that.
Nothing, except that it's so much like the medallion that David described to me in his dream.
Well, I think that's just a strange coincidence, don't you?
I'm sure you're right. Mrs. Stoddard, I think I'll go up and sit with David for a while.
Do that, Vicky. I'll be here for you. Mrs. Stoddard, I'm sorry about what happened. I haven't been much of a help to you.
You did your best, Miss Austin. I'm beginning to think that none of our best is going to be good enough to help David.
May I come in?
Sure.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for Sarah.
In there?
I see lots of things in there.
David, you understand that what happened downstairs was nothing more than a strange coincidence.
What do you mean?
Well, the medallion that Miss Hoffman has couldn't possibly be the one you saw in your dream.
But it is exactly the same. And she's the same woman.
But you told me that in your dream you couldn't see the woman's face.
I couldn't, but I just know she is. I don't want her to come near me anymore. When is she going to leave here?
When her work is finished.
Well, I hope she gets through with it quickly and goes away.
David, you aren't being very reasonable.
Yes, I am. There's something really scary about her, Vicky, and nobody can make me believe that there isn't.
All right. But you're wrong.
Wait a minute. I know where I can find Sarah!
David, what are you doing?
I'm going out to get Sarah.
You're going to stay right here.
But I have to go talk to her. I've got questions to ask her.
You are not allowed to leave this house.
But, Vicky, I haven't been out for over a whole week.
The last time you went out looking for Sarah, you got lost for 2 days.
That was at night. This is the middle of the day.
David, I don't care. You had us all very worried.
But, Vicky, I've gone out hundreds of times. Nobody even thought about it. But this time it's really important.
Why?
Because I have to talk to Sarah.
About what?
I can't tell you.
Well, I'm sorry, but you can't go out.
Oh, Vicky, please, just let me go for an hour. I promise I'll be back in an hour. If you let me go, I'll promise you something else.
I'll tell you what Sarah and I talk about. That's something you'd like to know, isn't it?
Well, I am curious, yes.
Then let me go, and I promise I'll tell you.
Do you promise that you won't go far from the house?
Yes. The crystal ball is always right.
Never mind about that crystal ball. Be sure to be back here in an hour.
I will. Oh, thanks, Vicky. Last night.
Second time in a week he's had a dream about Barnabas.
Surely you're not trying to make something out of that.
Well, don't you think that's interesting?
No. Barnabas wasn't the only one in the dream. It was Sarah and Julia Hoffman.
Yes. And the incident with Miss Hoffman, that's interesting, too. What did she do that frightened you?
Not a thing. She was just holding a gold medallion. When he got it, we saw it, he got hysterical.
Beat me what could be frightening the boy. And you talked to him about it, alone?
Oh, yes, I tried to just before you got here.
What did he tell you?
The usual. Nothing.
Well, how did he and Miss Hoffman happen to be alone together?
Oh, she wanted to talk to him alone, see if... Oh, well, he would tell her what was bothering her.
I see. You know, sometimes I think that family history is the least of Miss Hoffman's interest.
What does that mean?
Well, the lady is supposed to be doing research on the Collins family history, and yet she always seems to be busy doing something totally unrelated to that.
Well, no, she works very hard. She just spends most of her time in the library at the old house.
Well, I should think she'd get more accomplished in the library right here in Collinwood.
She's worked here, too.
Maybe she spends more time at the old house because she has a mad crush on Barnabas.
Burke.
Well, there have been more imperfect combinations. I better go see Dick.
Oh, wait. You can't. He's not in his room.
Oh, where is he?
He went out to find Sarah.
You let him go outside?
He's been cooped up in his house all week long.
Well, Vicky, in the frame of mind he's in, he shouldn't be allowed to go out wandering alone.
But before he got lost, he used to go out all the time and nothing happened to him.
But you should have gone with him, just to be sure.
He refuses to take anyone along when he's going to meet Sarah.
Why?
He says that she's too shy to meet other people.
Well, do you know where he's meeting?
No. But he told me he wasn't going far from the house.
Good. He shouldn't be too hard to find.
Are you going to look for him?
Yes, I have to be back in town this afternoon, so this is the only time I'll have to talk to him. I'll be back.
You. Sarah, I know where you are, but please come out and talk to me. Sarah, I promised Vicky I'd be home soon. Come on, Sarah. Come on, where? Sarah, I knew you'd be here. I know. You were looking in your crystal ball, and you saw me right here. Isn't that right? Sarah, how did you know that I saw you in my crystal ball?
I know lots of things.
Well, there's one special thing that I want you to tell me about.
What is it?
I had a dream last night.
What kind of a dream?
It was the scariest dream I've ever had. Things happened in it that I don't understand. I thought maybe you could tell me what they mean.
I'll try.
Well, in my dream I saw you, and I was asking you questions about where you came from.
And what did I tell you?
Well, you said you were born right here in Collinsport, and when you were almost 10, you got very sick.
That's right, I did. Well, you said that everybody was very sad because you died. That you did it, Sarah.
David! David, where are you? David!
I can't talk anymore. I have to go. But Sarah, you haven't answered all my questions. Now you sit down right here. And I'll go tell Burke that we have to be alone together. Now don't move. Burke, where are you?
I'm right here, David.
Burke, you've got to go back to the house. Otherwise, Sarah won't... She's gone.
Well, who's gone?
Sarah. You scared her, and now she's gone. What is that?
I'm sorry, David. I didn't mean to frighten her. But she couldn't have gone too far. Maybe we can find her.
No. We can't find her. She was just telling me about my dream.
Well, would you like to talk to me about your dream?
I don't think it would do any good. Because the only person that knows what it means is Sarah.
Well, how do you know that?
Because she was in my dream. She was the one that took me to that room.
What room?
The one with the coffin in it.
And you saw the coffin open up, and your cousin Barnabas was getting out of it. Isn't that right, David?
Yes.
Well, now, how would a little girl like Sarah know anything about that?
Because she was in the dream. She was standing right next to me when the coffin opened up.
Now, David, you mustn't confuse the dream with reality. Now, she was standing next to you in your dream, but it wasn't her dream, so how could she possibly answer any questions about it?
It looks like you don't know very much about Sarah.
Well, no, I don't. But then I never met the girl.
I don't think you'll ever get to meet her.
Why not?
Because I think I'm the only one she'll ever talk to anymore.
She must be very shy.
Oh, no, it isn't just that. But I don't think she wants anybody to know.
Know what?
That she's a ghost.
A ghost? Oh, come on now, David. You don't really mean that, do you?
Of course I do, because it's true.
Well, now, David, I was just listening to you two talk a minute ago, and she sounded just as alive as you are.
Where were you when you heard us talking?
Well, just at the other side of those bushes over there. Why?
Well, when you came out from behind those bushes, did you see Sarah?
No.
Well, how do you think she got away so fast?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Well, the answer is she disappeared. Like that.
He's still upset with me for causing Sarah to go away.
Did he tell you about his dream?
No, not very much. He's made up his mind that Sarah's the only one he wants to talk to about that.
I wonder why.
I don't know. But you were right. He's certainly behaving very strangely. And some of the things he says are just beyond belief.
Like what?
Well, for one thing, he says that his little friend Sarah is a ghost.
A ghost? Rick, you think we ought to have him examined by a doctor?
No, frankly, I don't think it's that serious. He's always had a vivid imagination. He's probably just going through a phase of some kind.
No, I don't think he is, and I don't think that the things he says are related to his imagination.
Vicki, that's the only logical explanation. When he starts carrying on about people getting out of coffins and 10-year-old ghosts and
well,
mysterious...
There has to be a reason.
Well, of course, but it can't be the supernatural.
I'm inclined to agree with David. I think maybe Sarah is a ghost.
You can't be serious.
Yes, I am. It's been proven that Sarah knows about things before they happen. She comes and goes at her own will. And, well, she gave Maggie a doll that was 150 years old.
And those few flimsy facts make her a ghost. Oh, come on now, Vicki.
I suppose you think I'm imagining things, too.
No, but I think you're believing what you want to believe.
All right, Burke. I'll give you a challenge. You're very good at carrying out investigations, so I challenge you to make an investigation on Sarah. Find out who she is, where she lives, and then I want you to produce her in the flesh.
And if I do that?
I'll admit I'm wrong. But I know that I won't be, because David is right. That little girl is a ghost.
Dan Curtis production.
On this night, near Collinwood, a man lies dying, a man who knows a terrifying secret. If he dies, he will carry that secret to his grave. But if he lives, there is one he can expose, one whose very existence depends on his death.
Nothing to worry about.
He's dead.
Well, not yet.
What?
But the chances are he will be. He's still in a coma. In all probability, he will never come out of it.
But you can't guarantee it.
Well, I'm almost certain.
Almost? You mean he may live to betray me?
It's highly unlikely.
But it's possible.
Barnabas,
I know what you're going to say. You're going to tell me to remain quiet and forget it. Well, I refuse to do that any longer. As long as Willie is alive, my entire career is threatened. Willie must die. Now. Good night.
What are you planning to do?
Kill him myself, if necessary.
There are a dozen reasons why that's impossible. To begin with, he's surrounded by people. There are doctors and nurses in constant attendance.
I'll think of a way of getting him alone.
How?
I'll find a way.
Barnabas, there is no way. He's being guarded day and night. Barnabas, believe me, the best thing to do is nothing. Just let Willie die quietly. Everyone will continue to believe that he's the kidnapper, and the pressure will be off of you.
If he does die.
He will.
You told me that last night, and he still lives.
Well, he won't be much longer.
I'll make certain that he isn't.
Where are you going?
To the hospital.
That's pointless. They won't let you near his room.
I'll see about that.
But they won't let you in. Besides, you can't leave now. You're going to have a visitor.
A visitor?
The sheriff.
What?
He came this morning looking for you, and I told him you wouldn't be back till this evening.
But I answered his question. What does he want?
He wants to search Willie's room to see if he can find any clues.
Clues?
Proof that Willie was the kidnapper.
He still doubts it.
Well, he thinks there are many unanswered questions.
And he's coming here again.
I think you might be able to turn this to your advantage, Barnabas.
What do you mean?
If there were a way that you could prove, finally and conclusively, that Willie was the kidnapper, you would have the sheriff not have any more doubts, and he wouldn't have to ask you any more questions.
How can I do that?
I'm not sure, but you'll find a way.
Well, they won't find anything of any consequence in Willie's room? Unless...
What?
They will find something. Something very incriminating.
Change?
Well, his pulse rate's accelerated slightly, but the heartbeat's fairly perceptible.
You don't give him much of a chance, sir.
If he lives, it'll be a miracle.
But there is a chance he'll come out of the coma.
Yeah, slim one.
Well, all we can do is wait.
That's right. We've done all we can for it. All we can hope for is that the transfusion take hold.
You know something, Dave?
Okay.
I don't believe that boy kidnapped Maggie.
You don't?
No.
Well, then, why did he try to break into Maggie's room?
I don't know.
Well, look, George, I have a hard time believing all this myself, but nevertheless, he is the one who walked into the trap you set.
Yes, I know.
And you still think that he isn't guilty?
Not for any logical reason, just... call it a kind of a sixth sense. I just don't believe that he's the guilty one.
Well, then, who is?
I don't know. But I have a feeling Willie can tell us. If he lives.
And that's hat belong to Maggie?
Yes, they'll find it here and think he stole it from her.
But why would he keep it? Wouldn't he sell it?
I'll tell them that Willie had a weakness for jewelry. He would want it.
But he'd keep it well hidden.
I know. That's why I must find a place to cleverly hide it. But in a place where they will find it.
What about in his clothes?
No, that's too obvious.
Oh, well, perhaps under the mattress.
I have a better idea.
What?
I'll hide it in this candlestick. Under the candle.
But do you think they'll find it there?
I'll make certain they do. Yes, that is a perfect hiding place.
Well, I'd better be getting back. I think it would be awkward if the sheriff found me here.
Where are you going?
Back to Collinwood.
I want you to go to the hospital.
What for?
Continue to pose as consulting physician to Dr. Woodard and make certain that Willie doesn't recover.
What?
You heard me. If he starts recovering, you must silence him.
You're asking me to kill him.
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
You must be insane if you think I'd do anything like that.
You'd be insane if you don't. Remember, you have a lot at stake, too, you know. If Willie should recover, you'll be exposed and your career will be ruined.
Practical, Barnabas. Couldn't kill him if I wanted to. I told you, he's surrounded by people.
You're a doctor. A doctor must know several ways of causing a man to die. Ways that won't be detected.
I will not take a human life. I have told you that before.
You must if it becomes necessary.
It won't be necessary. Willie will die naturally.
If he doesn't, you know what you must do. Do it. Come in. Oh, Sam.
Yes.
George?
Hi, Sam. How is he?
About the same.
You think he'll ever pull out of it?
At this point, your guess is as good as mine.
Now, George, I've been thinking all about this. I just can't buy it. About Willie being the guilty man.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Sure, you're just saying the same thing a few minutes ago. You were.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's just too many things that don't figure. Well, for instance, if Willie did kidnap Maggie, where did he hide her? He couldn't just take her up to the old house, not with Barnabas Collins there. But where could he hide her?
Yeah. Same thought crossed through my mind.
Another thing. What would be his motive? Unless you're figuring for a psychopath. Frankly, I don't.
You know, little Sarah still troubles me. Obviously, she fits into this somehow, but how?
I don't know. It's a long way from being an open and shut case. Maybe I'll know more about it tonight.
What do you mean?
Going up to the old house. I want to have a look around Willie's room. I might be able to find something. Clue.
Mind if I come along with you?
No, I guess not.
Well, I want to see Barnabas Collins. I've got more questions I want to ask him about Willie.
All right. May as well get started. But Dave, I'll leave my deputy outside. If there's any change in Willie, you have to come after me right away.
Okay.
And Dave?
Yeah?
Just in case, by some miracle, Willie comes out of that coma. Don't let anyone talk to him before I do.
Not anyone.
Not anyone. I want to be the first to hear what Willie has to say.
I've been expecting you.
Hello, Miss Collins.
Reverend? Mr. Collins, I asked the sheriff I might come along. I hope you don't mind.
Of course not.
How's her daughter?
Oh, Maggie, she's fine.
And Willie?
He's very well. They don't expect him to live.
Poor Willie. In spite of everything, I find it difficult to believe that he's responsible for whatever happens in the pit.
Can we have a look around his room?
Yes, I'll show it to you this way.
Long to search. Not much here.
Poor Willie didn't have many bags.
I'll start with the bureau.
It's rather dark. I'll light a few candles.
Mr. Collin.
Yes.
Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Of course.
Did Willie go out much at nights?
Yes, frequently. He was free to do whatever he wished whenever he finished his work.
And don't have any idea where it might have gone?
No, I never inquired into Willie's personal life.
Well, assuming that he did kidnap Maggie, well, we can't figure out where he kept her.
Yes, it is strange.
Yes, you don't have any theories.
I prefer to think that Willie is innocent.
Well, nothing in there. Where did he get the rest of his clothes?
In that closet.
I'll check the desk.
I'm sure you won't find anything there.
Oh, well, it can't always be right. Nothing in here either. On the desk.
Here's his shaving kit. You may find something in it.
Nothing but his razor. I'll check this stuff on top of the bureau here. Nothing.
Sam, let me handle this mattress, will you?
All right. Well, nothing there either.
Did you really expect to find anything?
That's just a waste of time.
That might be. I did expect to find something, but I guess that was a mistake.
Would you like to search in some of the other rooms in the house?
No, that won't be necessary. Unless he had some luggage stored someplace else.
Yes, he had a suitcase.
Where is it?
Well, it's in the closet at the end of the hall. He kept it locked. I believe he left me the key in the bureau. Yes. Here it is.
Oh, how clumsy of me. Look! A ring.
Hidden in the candlestick.
I've never seen it before.
Sam? You identify that?
Yes. Maggie's.
You sure?
I'm positive. I'd know that ring anywhere. She was wearing it the night she disappeared. It was gone after we found her. I wondered what happened to her.
And this is it. That's the evidence we were looking for. Willie Loomis has got to be our man.
Come in.
I stopped by to see if there was anything I could do.
I don't see anything and do to remove the bullet successfully with an anticipatable amount of internal hemorrhage? All we can hope now is that he survived the operation.
I still feel so guilty for not telling you what I suspected.
I wish you had.
But I wasn't sure, and I didn't really feel I could say anything until I was sure.
Too late to worry about it now.
You look tired.
Oh, I am, Julia. I've been up all night.
Would you like me to relieve you?
No, thanks. No need for that.
I'd be glad to. He seems to be feeling the pain.
Well, he's coming out of the coma. I'm going to let the sheriff know about this. Close that up, will you? Deputy?
Hardly believe it.
I had plenty of doubts myself. I can't ignore the evidence. Willie must be guilty.
Why, Maggie? Why would he want to harm her? He must be insane.
Possibly he is. I find that hard to believe. Willie never showed any signs of being unbalanced. Psychopaths can sometimes appear to be quite normal, even the most unbalanced.
It comes as a great shock to me. I was very fond of Willie. And in a way, I feel responsible for anything he might have done.
Why should you be responsible?
He was my servant. I hired him and gave him a place to live. If I hadn't, he would have left the community and none of this would have happened.
Don't blame yourself. You had no way of knowing about him.
Just the same, I do feel responsible. If there is anything that I can do for you or your daughter at this time, please don't hesitate to call us.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
I wasn't expecting visitors.
I'll get it. It must be my deputy. I told him to contact me here if there was any change in Willie. Sheriff.
Yeah.
They want you down at the hospital right away.
Is it Willie?
Coming out of the coma.
Will he be able to talk?
They think so.
Then I'll get the truth out of him. Before this night is over, we'll know everything.
Good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby. We'll be right back.